I've been in church for 32 years consistently. 32 years after my little rendezvous in the streets, and 26 years as a senior pastor. And something that I've noticed in the church for a number of years, and that people think that they are in a place that many times that they are not. And sometimes it takes things in life to help us to realize that we still need to make some adjustments, and we still perhaps need some deliverance and other things in our life, especially when we think that we've arrived. This is what the Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthian church, that we needed to take heed lest we fall when we think that we're standing, when we think that we got it all together. You may know people like that, that always want to tell you what to do, and you know, their life is tore up and they need to be trying to work on themselves. Jesus also told us that we need to take the beam out of our own eye before we start trying to take a speck out of somebody else's eye. So, but I've noticed that, you know, people think that there's some place that they're not, and it can be quite annoying when you can see something that for some reason others don't see. And so this morning, just for the next few minutes, I just want to share a little something with you about what Jesus was telling Peter. And I pray that this be a blessing to you. But in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, verse 22. Chapter 22, verse 31, it reads, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou hast thrice or three times deny that thou knowest me." And so Peter is that disciple that really had a desire to serve the Lord and stay with him. He really had that desire. He really loved the Lord. He left his profession. He left his fishing trade to walk and follow Christ. But in his zeal to serve the Lord, he really did not know himself as he thought he did. You see, nobody really knows us. The Bible teaches us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't really know what's in us. We would like to think that we got it all together, but it's not quite that way. Many times, and people need to open themselves up and allow others to help them get to a better place and not just think they have it all together. And what Jesus was telling Peter here, he said, Satan has asked for you. Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat. That's very powerful. Satan has asked for you. How many of you know that when you're serving the Lord, the enemy is used to help you get to a better place? You know, I know Jesus, our Father, is not afraid of the devil, and neither should we be afraid of the enemy, be afraid of evil and afraid of wickedness. But things come, opposition comes many times to help us to get to a better place in our walk. You cannot grow unless you are being opposed. You can't gain strength unless you are being opposed. You can't get greater muscles physically unless you are using some resistance in the weights. And so all these things come to help us to get strong and to take our faith to another level. That's why the scriptures say that we walk and we're moving from faith to faith and from glory to glory. You only get from faith to faith and glory to glory as you go through things. This is going to help you to move into a greater place in your walk and in a greater place in Christ. So he says, Satan has asked for you to sift you as wheat. See, the sifting is not bad. It's not a bad thing because it removes what is not of God. And that's what the sifting is all about. And again, I want to really emphasize the fact that the enemy is used to help get us in a better place. I like what happened in the book of Judges, I believe it's Judges chapter 3, where the scripture said that the Lord left a lot of the enemies of Israel when they were going into the promised land. The Lord left a lot of the enemies in the promised land because the generation that was getting ready to go in, the Joshua generation, didn't know anything about war. They didn't know how to fight. So in order for them to learn how to fight, the Lord allowed some of the enemies to stay there. You need an enemy to learn how to do battle and to learn how to be a conqueror. If we are more than conquerors, then that ought to tell you that I got to have something to conquer. And so certain things are put in our life and left in our life, not to take us out, not to make us backslide or leave God, but they're there to help us to gain strength and to grow stronger. I was listening to one of the songs early, and the sister was ministering very powerfully. She said, Lord, do I have to go through this? Do I have to? Yes, you have to go through that, because God knows what's best for us, and we have to learn how to grow up and be able to go through whatever it is we got to go through, because life is not fair all the time. You know, we don't get everything, and you got to learn how to work with the hand that's been dealt to you. Whatever's been given to you, you got to learn how to work with that, and you got to learn how to move yourself into a better place. If you don't like where you are, you need to know that you got the power through God on the inside of you to move to a different place. But many times what you're going through for a reason, and you're going through it for a season. It's going to pass. But now, depending on how you handle where you are, will determine how quickly you can get into a better season or a season that you like. Because personally, I don't think there are any bad seasons. I don't think there's any bad things that happen in our life when we are men and women of God. I think everything that happens in our life happens for a reason. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that everything happens for a purpose. And even though it looked like it was an accident, or looked like something went wrong, or even something good, it wasn't an accident. Everything is done on purpose when you're walking with the Lord, and when you are a man and woman of God, a child of God. So Peter, like us, needs some things removed in order to effectively serve Christ. Some things have to be removed. I'm sure some of you are listening to me right now, and you know areas of your life that could be better. God loves you right where you are, but he doesn't want you to stay there. So he allows certain things to come into our lives so we can help get to a better place in him and deal with some of those areas of our life that we don't like ourselves. So once you are dealt with, he told Peter, once you have dealt with, once the enemy has done whatever he's going to do in the sifting, he told him something very powerful. He said, I want you to go back and strengthen your brethren. Now I also want to make mention of the fact that he said, he didn't tell Peter that he was going to rescue him. I want to make sure I bring that point out. But Jesus told Peter that Satan has asked for you, and he said, I've already prayed. In other words, I'm not going to get you out of the hands of the enemy. I'm going to let the enemy do his job and sift you and do whatever he needs to do to you, because you need to get into a better place because of the task that's before you. And many of us know Peter in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, that 3,000 souls got saved from that same man, Peter, when he preached the message in Acts chapter 2. So God was preparing him for something even greater. And you need to know God is preparing you for something greater. So yeah, you'll have the enemy come. Peter is the one that got the great revelation in Matthew chapter 16 about Jesus being the Christ. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. See, Peter had revelation from the Father in heaven as to who Jesus was. And none of us can know who Christ really is unless it is revealed to us by Spirit. No man can help you understand who Jesus is. You can know some historical facts about Jesus, but to really know Christ and to really be in relationship with him is something that's has to come to you from the realm of the Spirit. And so but right after that, in Matthew chapter 16, right after that powerful revelation, Jesus is rebuking Peter. He's rebuking the devil in Peter. He says, Satan, get behind me, because Peter was telling him, no, Lord, don't be saying this is going to happen to you and all of that. And he rebuked him. Isn't it amazing how you can get a powerful revelation from the Father, and then in the next moment, the Father or Jesus can be rebuking the devil in you? It's easy to fall out of the Spirit and jump in the flesh. And so these are the things that we got to get set free and delivered from if we're going to be effective for the Lord in this earth, and if we're going to live the kind of life that we desire to live. So you got to beware. That's why the Lord said, deny yourself, deny yourself. We too in love with ourselves, and we can't get the job done, because if anything threatens ourselves, you know, we're quick to cater to that and not know that it's not about you. This wasn't about Peter. It wasn't about Peter. The Lord told him, when the devil is done with you, Peter, you go back and strengthen your brethren. I think this is so powerful. Jesus prayed for Peter. He did not rescue him from the enemy. Remember that. After you have been converted. Now, the word convert means to turn again. To turn again. Because Peter was already walking with Christ. But he knew something that was going to happen with Peter that was going to cause him to turn. And he was going to have to turn again. See, a lot of people are saved and in church, but they haven't been converted. They haven't turned from some things that they are doing and were doing before they received Christ into their life. And so we haven't really experienced true conversion. We've just received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Anybody can do that. But when you see someone who has been converted, they have turned from some things. And they're not going to continue in the things that they were in prior to their salvation experience. And so it's not a bad thing, but you need to let people help you understand that you need to be converted. You need to be converted so you can turn from some things that may be very difficult. Some things in our life is hard to get away from. You know, we can stop maybe doing drugs and stop doing a few other things, but there are some things that people deal with from time to time that's very difficult for them to just shake immediately. But as we continue to allow people to minister to us, as we continue to submit to those that are strong in the Lord and have been through what we've been through, and know that ain't nobody out to get you, nobody trying to tell you what to do, ain't nobody trying to boss you around, but you have to let people help you to get to a better place. Remember, God still uses people. You know, there ain't no such thing as having a relationship with the Lord and not having a relationship with people, because you cannot even serve God without serving people. You want to know if you're serving God or are you serving people? If you're not serving people, you're not serving God. And so it is very important that you listen this morning to and understand wherever you go to church, you have to submit to that man of God. You got to submit. I know we don't like that word. It's even hard to even mention that word, submit. It don't even sound right, do it. But the bottom line is we have to learn how to submit and get to a place where you can get in a place and get to a place where you can submit and not be afraid that somebody's going to take advantage of you. And a lot of times we think like that when it comes to our leaders, because we've been taken advantage before. Someone has taken advantage of us before in the world or maybe at a church. But, you know, every preacher is not going to take advantage of you. Everyone that's called to ministry is not in the ministry to take advantage of you. You just got to be prayerful and allow the Lord to lead you to the place where you can really let go and really trust and know that that leadership is for your good, wherever that church may be. That's why we have so many of them, because there's a church there. This morning, there's a church that's got food on the table for you. Just for you. And you have to pray and be very careful where you go, because you can't eat from everybody's table because you're gonna get sick. You see, and you need to find out where you should be this morning so you can go and submit and get under that covering. Stop being opinionated. And, you know, so many people in the church, we got this democracy. This spirit of democracy is all up in the church. Like, it's, you know, this is not a place that's for the people and by the people and ruled by people. This is a place that's for God and about God. And God delegates who he wants to be where he wants them to be. And so this is important. This is a theocracy. It is not a democracy. You don't have a voice as far as, you know, how that ministry should be run. And, you know, I tell the people all the time that if we're going to have a function, we can determine what kind of food we want to have. You know, we can discuss things like that. But when it comes to the theocracy of God, the rule of God, and establishing what needs to be established in the church, that, you know, your opinion is out the window. And there's too many people in church that don't understand that. You know, you think you always have to have an opinion about this. Well, I don't like that, and I don't like the way he did that, and I don't like the way she did that. But, you know, that's why you have to find a place where you can totally submit. And whatever you may have an issue with, you're there to pray about it, intercede about it. We're men. Sometimes I think people forget that we're men and women in the church, leading the church. We sit in the same place that you sit. You know, so, and God called us from that place to do a greater work for him, but we still people. And so instead of talking about your man of God, your woman of God, you need to pray for them. They need prayer just like everybody else, because they can't tell everybody what they're going through, because there's no really nobody for them to go talk to. And so you need to just be in prayer and stop being judgmental and opinionated and all that foolishness that goes on in the church that makes no sense, that's dividing the body and gossip and all that stuff. You need to stop it and just know that your man and woman of God need prayer, and God is doing something with you so you can go back and strengthen those that are not in that place that they should be yet. And so Peter, but the Lord told Peter, when you are converted, when you turn again, change from one belief to another is also what converted means. I'm going to change the way I was seeing this and change the way I was believing this. And Peter thought that he was all ready to die and go to prison for Christ. But there was something deep inside of him that belonged to the enemy. Peter was under satanic attack because he wasn't a scared man. Peter cut a man's ear off when they was coming to get Christ and take him to the cross. Peter cut the man's ear off, and Christ healed the man's ear and told Peter to put up his sword. So Peter was not scared, but when he got under demonic attack, when Jesus said that Satan has asked for you, and I've already prayed, you're going to get through it, but you got to go through it. You got to go through it in order to get through it. And so he said, Peter, I've already prayed for you. And so when all of this was over with, Peter, of course, he denied Christ, but this, I love how the Lord restored him when he asked him in another one of the Gospels. He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? He asked him that three times. He was bringing restoration to every time he denied him, the three times he denied him. So God will never leave us in the place where we are, but he wants us to know that it's important to go through whatever life hands you. Go through it, deal with it, because it's going to strengthen you. It's going to take your faith to a whole nother level. And that's where you want to be. You want to be able to get in a position where you can trust God for anything. And even if things don't go quite the way you want it to go, you still trust God. We got to get like Job. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to go out trusting God. No matter what happens, I'm going out trusting God. And that's the attitude that we have to have. And we can't deviate from that. We can't get caught up in how the world is going and how things looking in the world. And that's a whole nother message for a whole nother day. But we got to prepare ourselves to really walk with Christ and really be serious about this thing, and don't let the world and nobody cause us to deviate, especially from the place where God has planted you. There's a place this morning that God wants you. I don't know where that is, but you do. And so you need to make sure you get there. If you had a problem in a church somewhere, do what you can to try to reconcile it. And even if it's not time for you to go back there, write the pastor a letter, do something. Let's start learning how to do things correctly so we can be in a position to strengthen somebody else that may be going through the same thing you are. God bless you. I'd like to see you this morning at 10 o'clock. We would love to have you come out, just experience the service and experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit with us. May God bless you, and we will see you next time.